Well, we're continuing on with our series on team building. We're up to week 5, and we're moving through. And today we're looking at identifying the gifts that we have amongst us. I wonder if anyone has a friend like this. This is my friend Moses, whom I went to school with. And when I was grew up in Pakistan, came back when I was 9 years old to Brisbane in Queensland, and I went to this school, Junction Park. And in my year was Moses Rollini. The thing about Moses was he was good at every kind of sport. Okay, I mean everything. So, you know, you'd have a sports day and Moses would be, you know, quite a long way ahead in the sprints and the 400 and the 800. And swimming, he would probably be just about leading. And then any kind of sport with a ball, well, Moses was unbelievable. He'd take something up in about our third year at high school, because we went to high school together. He took up cricket and he was straight in there, one of the best bowlers. And he'd never played before. Basketball, the same thing, you know, he'd never really played it and just sort of took it up and could just about dunk the ball. He was about 5'8" or so, but he could just about, you know, he's just an incredible athlete. But his main sport was rugby. And Moses, his dad had played rugby for Fiji, he was the number 9 for Fiji, and his brother was the number 9 for Fiji, and then Moses ended up becoming the number 9 for Fiji. And here he is in action against South Africa. He played at 2 World Cups. He was the captain. He was just an absolutely fantastic sportsman and particularly a fantastic rugby player. Whenever I mention Moses, my mum tells this story. I'm digressing slightly. But she came and taught in our primary school once when he was about 11. We were about 11, must have been year 6. And she was teaching the other class, which Moses was in. And this lad was messing around in the front row and just sort of being awkward. And all of a sudden, my mother had her face to the board. She heard a bit of a thump. And she turned around, and this boy was on the floor, sort of being knocked off his chair. And she looked up, and Moses looked up at her and said, "It's all right, Mrs. Arnold. He won't do it again." She explained that wasn't really how one behaved in a classroom, but he had that kind of presence. Well, here he is. Do you know, sometimes I think in churches, we think there's other people who are a bit like Moses, but we're like someone else. People who are the superstars who can do it all, but we're not that person. And the reality is that's just not the case, that actually we all have gifts, and we're all people who have something to give. And that's really what we're looking at today as we think about this, because what we recognize is that believing isn't really enough. There has to be a bit more than just having an understanding that, you know, who God is and what he's done. Actually, we need to respond and do something about it. We need to actually get involved. And what we see in the Bible is that everyone has a purpose and everyone has something that they can do and contribute. It's very simple. It's a very simple idea and a very simple concept that we have to understand. But we also need to be sensitive spiritually to what God is doing amongst us. Last week, or the last time we were doing this series, we were looking at the fact that everyone's involved. And today we're moving on to say, well, what can we do as individuals, and looking at that. I don't know if you remember Gordon speaking a few weeks ago, but he talked about the football pitch, didn't he? Where he said there's, you know, 30,000 people in the stands, and there's 11 on the pitch. The 30,000 in the stands desperately need to exercise, and the 11 on, or 22 rather, on the pitch, they need a rest. And it's not quite like that in churches. We've got lots of people who do lots here. But there is a sense in which we need to make sure we're on the pitch, and that we're all involved. We're not in the stands just watching, because actually how we grow as Christians is through being called to serve him. Kim spoke about her different aspects of that for her. So she works in the NHS, she's involved in children's work, and does a lot of other things as well, does some amazing stuff. Think of someone like Margaret, who did the reading, who tutors half of Carvely's children, if not all of them, and also runs the Open the Book team and helps with other things in church. Think of Dave. I don't know if Dave's here. I think Julia is, who helps with fuel pumps at Asda, setting the petrol prices and managing those sorts of Asda's fuel. Am I allowed to say that? Oh, well. Anyway, there you go. I think of Pauline, who helps coordinate coffee shop and runs inquiries courses and other Paulines here as well. I think of Paul, who sleeps in our porch some of the time, but sweeps up the porch when he wants to tidy things up. That's his ministry. I think of Sarah, who has Vincent and is expecting another child and is involved at home. The point is, all of these people and all of you here have different gifts and different things to offer. And we're going to look at that idea now. The gospel reading was quite challenging, wasn't it? And what it was really saying was that we all need to be ready to serve, to have a servant heart. The problem with the servant was that when he didn't think the boss was coming back, he thought he'd mistreat the other people who were under him. He didn't have a servant heart, and he wasn't prepared to be in that. He wasn't dressed and ready for service. And yet Jesus, of course, was the servant king who was here to serve. And so within the Christian life, we have this idea that we both need to be watchful, but also we need to be servant-hearted. We mustn't become kind of flabby is a bit strong as a word, but, you know, we mustn't become kind of, you know, we need to actually have, there needs to be a level of fitness in our lives as spiritually in what we do. We don't want to become diluted. And I think that's a really important thing for us to understand. But I really want to focus on that reading from Romans that we had. I'm thinking a little bit about what it says to us, because it's a wonderful passage that talks about a number of different ideas of what it is to be involved in using our gifts. And the first thing it talks about is this idea of being following God's will. In those first two verses, it says those words, "Therefore, in view of God's mercy, present your bodies to be a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." And that's an incredibly powerful image, because in the Old Testament, of course, for Jews, sacrifices were by definition always what? They were always dead. That was the idea. You took an animal and you sacrificed it at the temple. And what Paul is saying here is that you take that idea for something that you take to the temple, but now we're going to make it a living sacrifice. In other words, as people, we all are to present our lives before God and to allow him to use us in a very powerful way. There's a guy called J.B. Phillips, and his translation of that is he says, "Do not let the world squeeze you into its mold." I don't know if you've ever used a mold. Anyone, oh, you know, some of you have made biscuits. You know those biscuit molds? You know, sort of like stars or you know, ginger men ones. And you put the mixture in, and you sort of squeeze it down. I haven't done it that often, but, you know, once or twice. And you put it in, you squeeze it down, and you have the mold. But in the Christian life, we don't want to do that to people. We don't want sort of to have people thinking they have to be. We want people to be free to live. What Paul is saying is that the world, if you're not careful, squeezes you into its mold. It's about consumerism. It's about serving yourself. And it's about getting ahead. That's the world's mold. He's saying there's much more to life than that. There's much more to life than that. And it's about being prepared to be free and to blossom in friendship with Jesus. And so he goes on then to say, but in order to do that, we need to change the way we think. We need to change the way we think. And it's a change of mindset. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We do actually quite like to live fairly predictably. But here, what's being said is actually we need to be prepared to change the way we think. That's quite difficult, actually, once you get to a certain, to really change radically the way that you think about things. Because we all have certain ways of thinking about things. We like to do things, we like predictability as human beings. And Paul is saying, be renewed by the transformation of the way that you think, the way that you see yourself, God, and the world around you. And it's a real challenge for us, because otherwise we carry on in a way that is sort of, if you like, it's not just predictable, but it really ends up being quite self-serving. And we need to be challenged by the gospel to say, this is a totally different way of living that's full of being servant-hearted and seeking to serve the king. It's very different, isn't it? And how we do that is incredibly important. I've had a few moments in my life where I've made big decisions, big changes. When I was at school, I finished my schooling and I thought I was going to do law. And so I got into a law course. I was going to do a double degree at Arts and Law. And I went overseas and I thought, you know, I think I'd like to do something overseas. What use is law, really? So I did nursing, which is a pretty big... I went to visit the hospital. I'm glad I did, but it was a big change. I then worked in nursing, and then I got to a point where I was invited by a vicar of a church to consider working for the church, but through a Christian organization. But in order to do that, here's the thing. We had to raise our own financial support. I've talked about this before. It meant coming off a payroll, effectively, a normal payroll, and getting people to support what you did. It's a big change in thinking. Can I rely on God to provide financially for me and my family? And so we made this change and we did it. And then a few years later, I felt called to come into the ministry. And so then I made that change, and here I am in Calvary after 5 years of ministry. But you see, in each time, there are these moments where your thinking has to be transformed. Whatever's going on in your life, I know most of you to a certain extent, and I know quite some of the pressures, but there is a sense in which some of the ways that the world squeezes us is not healthy, and we need to step back and allow God's Spirit to come in and change us. Well, one of the really key ways that he talks about changing us here is that we change the way that we understand ourselves. Very clearly talks there about how it's important to have a realistic understanding of ourselves and our abilities and to be humble in what we do as Christians. I don't know about you, but I love sport, as you probably gathered. And I sort of dream about cricket often. You know, everyone has their own thing. I dream sometimes about, you know, well, wouldn't it be great to play for, well, England or Australia, I suppose. You know, occasionally I have those dreams. And you get to the beginning of a new season. I always play every year in the Church Times Cup, and I play for Calvary up here occasionally. So I play when they're short or in the thirds. Okay, that's basically. And so I was asked to play, and I'm always, you know, I fancy myself as a bit of a bowler. And but this time, a few weeks ago, about a month ago, I went up, and I hadn't bowled a single ball all season. Now that, for someone of my height, is potentially disastrous. Because, you know, bowling is all about getting in the right rhythm. And if you just get it slightly wrong, all sorts of things can happen, which is exactly what happened. So I got the ball thinking, I'm going to be fine. You know, it's not high standard. First ball was about here. No ball. Okay? Right. I bowled another one, and I got a warning from the umpire. He didn't really take. He wasn't really. You know, the fact that I hadn't bowled and it was a low level didn't matter. I got a warning. Next over, okay. I bowled a couple of short ones and then I bowled one that it went about this high. Okay. Now, clearly I think he was wrong, but he gave me no ball and then he said, "I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take you off." So he took me out of the attack, and these guys were standing around going, "We've never seen this happen, you know, in Calvary. We've never seen an umpire take someone out of the attack." And mid-over, I mean, I'm not talking about the, you know, it wasn't like finish the over. It was like, you know, they had to replace me. So I had these ideas that I'm this great bowler. And then after a full season, I came, I'm not bowling, came and frankly, you know, that's what happened. We have to be realistic about our abilities. Okay, I shouldn't really have been bowling, having not practiced at all. But in terms of the ministry, it's just saying, you know, let's be realistic. Let's be humble in what we do. And so Paul then goes on to talk about belonging. And he says, well, it really is like belonging to a team, belonging to a team of people. And there is a sort of special function that everyone has in the church and what we do. We belong to each other, don't we? And if you think about a team, a sports team, a football team, a defender is not a goalie. A goalie is not a forward is not a center back. You get the idea that we actually all have different gifts and we all have different things that we need to do. There's certain things I'm really dreadful at. And some of you will know that. Let me tell you, you know what really terrifies me? Things like craft at Messy Church. Some of you just love it. I know some of you love craft. And think, oh, great. And I sort of go, oh, no. Anyway, you know, if I have to man a table. When I was 5 years old, I was at a school, in an international school. And we had this, I can remember this, I've always been bad at it, that's the point. We had this thing, where we had a pot, and we had to decorate it with mirrors. And I would do it, and I thought, I'd go it, and we did it over several days, because you had to let dry and finish it. And I'd go back and think, oh, golly, I've not done very well. And so I'd just take someone else's. And I think I ruined a succession of pots doing this thing. As a five-year-old, I'm really not good at it. There's other people who are fantastic at doing those sorts of craft-type activities. Some of you really don't like the idea of standing out the front. And others of you think, yeah, I really want to be out there doing things. Some of you are very practical, hands-on, and others of you have a function in terms of prayer ministry. And the idea, of course, is that as we're one body, we serve together, and we need each other. Ben, my son Ben, went to watch Leeds play rugby league on Friday. And he texted me at halftime, and I said, what's the score? And he sent me a photo, and it was like 40-12 or 40-10 to Leeds. Anyway, I thought, wow, they must be a really poor team. But it turned out it was the semi-final of the Challenge Cup. In other words, they weren't a bad team. And when he got home, I said, Ben, that was really one-sided that Leeds did so well. He said, yes, one of the players on the other side was sent off in the first 10 minutes. And he'd been sent off. And so one of the sides only had 12 and the other had 13 on the field. And of course, in rugby league, that's, you know, that's a big deal. Without that one player, that other team just really struggled. And working together in a church, that's what it's like. We need actually everyone involved, and we need to allow people the opportunity to do things. We've got lots of little new things starting up here. We've got a creative stories group that Sue and Nicola and others have been involved in developing on a Thursday. We've got the Pamper Evening coming up, and this is where people are using their gifts. You think I'm bad at pottery? Being a beautician, I couldn't imagine what I would do. Goodness me. But the point is that we all have different gifts, and we're trying to get everyone using them together. And that is the model that we have. So what are these gifts that we're to share, these ministry gifts? Well, he lists them, doesn't he? Talks about a number of different gifts, and I just want to group them just to make it a bit easier. Some of the gifts are about what we say, speaking gifts. So he talks there about prophecy, speaking truth to power. Some of you are people who've really got a passion for speaking truth to power and challenging authority, challenging those and struggling for those who are oppressed. Some of you perhaps have a teaching ministry, where he talks about teaching here. Others are called to be encouragers, that is, people who speak words of encouragement, speaking ministries. And Paul says there's all these different kinds of ministries that we have. And then he goes on to kinds of serving gifts, ones to do with using our hands, things like just being practical in what we do. Things like generosity, giving generously, both in time and financially, to things. He talks about mercy, that is, being aware of those who are extra needy in our community and helping them and challenging those structures that put them down and actually seeking to serve those who need our help. That's really important in the Gospels. Jesus's ministry is all about going to the margins of society. And Paul picks up on this and says, you know, there's a place for that. In other words, it's not all about the people who are speaking from the front. For some, it's about praying and being involved in prayer. This is not an exhaustive list that he has, but these are the things that he talks about. And then finally, he talks about leadership. There's a picture there of a shepherd. And he says some have this gift of leading and providing clarity for people so they can follow. Well, the point is, I think, that there's lots of things that we get involved in. And we're really trying as a church to say there's lots of opportunities for you to use your gifts. If you're an administrator or a nurse or a beautician or an accountant or you work in a gym or you're an architect or you work for the military or you do logistics, whatever it is, I've just gone around and been picking people out, education, whatever it is, military. All of these things, we realize that you all have something to give. And the challenge for us as a church is, are we a church that actually enables people to give in that way? And I think that's really key. Just want to share a couple of final thoughts, and that is this. That in many ways, you'll see a picture of a net, hopefully, on the screen. We reach a point as a church where we actually do need to widen the net and let other people get involved. And that's really important for us as a church, that we've got everyone is using their gifts for two reasons. Firstly, in using your gifts, you actually grow as a Christian. It's just like exercising. It's just like going to the gym or going for a run. It's actually in the doing that you learn and you grow. So if we don't do, then we don't grow. It's pretty simple. And so that's really important. It's for all of us. And of course, also, it's so that we have that opportunity for those few people on the pitch not to get so tired that they have to go off injured. And that is that idea of just giving people an opportunity to serve in a very real way. Because we can't all be like Moses on the rugby field. Frankly, there are plenty of things I know that Moses probably wasn't very good at. Other things. And we need, actually, we don't need just the Kims and others who are doing lots of, well, we need others to get involved, and we're looking at ways of doing that over the coming weeks. And this Thursday night, of course, we've got our next team building night here in church at 7 o'clock, and we're going to be looking at that in more depth there. But I suppose that the other thing to say is that in all of this, the thing that makes us different is that the God's Spirit is to be involved. And what I mean by that is that we're not just thinking in our own strength, but we're thinking, God, what do you want us to do? And allowing the gifts of the Spirit to actually be amongst us. And so that it's not just an exercise in putting out a plan and doing it. Actually, there's a spiritual side to this that goes very deep. And it might be that sometimes God's calling us to do things that are a bit crazy, a bit out there. It might be something that we didn't think. But as we pray and discern God's role for us, we also pray that God will provide those people who have the gifts to help to serve. And so I want to encourage us today, as we look at this, to say, well, we are all called to serve, but God also, has made us in a particular shape. And I don't want you to try to be something that you're not. All I ask is that you allow God to show you what he can do through you and through his Spirit. So we're going to pray now, and then we're going to move on with our service. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for the gifts that you give us. Thank you for the unbelievable range of gifts here and also in those who aren't actually present today. And we just pray that you would continue to work in our lives. In Jesus' very precious name, amen.